Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we've got a good one on deck this week. The 7-3 Packers, fresh off of a blocked field goal last second victory against the Chicago Bears, hosting the 49ers at Lambeau Field. It's a 3:25 Central Time kickoff. So finally, they're not in the noon window. Feels like the first time in a long time. And they're starting a very daunting stretch. They're in kind of the gauntlet of their season here. Three straight games in a 12-day span, playing, of course, on Sunday afternoon. And then they play Thanksgiving at Lambeau. And then the following Thursday night at Ford Field against the Lions for their second matchup there. So some pretty tough sledding here the next 3 weeks of football season, Perry.
Yeah. And this one isn't prime time, but the next few are. And I know that like opponent matters more than prime time, but there is something about being under the lights and knowing that the entire country slash world probably at this point is watching you, you know, either you step up or you don't. And last year's team stepped up. Is this year's team going to step up? We will remain to be seen, but we're going to talk about the 49ers game, which I am especially excited about because I am going to be there live. If you didn't know already, because I can't stop talking about it. I can't wait to be at Lambeau. So if you are also going to be at this game, give a little shout. I will be tailgating. I will be at the Cheesehead TV meetup. So shout out to Corey and Aaron for putting that together. And I am hoping to see a Packers B-town of their rival 49ers. So let's get into it.
Yeah, I mean, this one is kind of for all the marbles for the 49ers. I mean, the Packers obviously still have a really good chance of making the playoffs if they drop this one. Of course, you want them to. It's an NFC team, but the 49ers are struggling. They're sitting at 5-5. They're coming off a loss to the Seahawks. And if the Niners will lose on Sunday, their chance of making the playoffs drops to 17% only, sitting at 5-6. And I believe next week they play the Bills. So they've got the Packers and then they head to Buffalo. I think it's an away game for them. But regardless, really challenging slate for them coming up. And the Packers, if they win on Sunday, their odds of making the playoffs jump all the way to 90%. So it is really, you know, the Packers have the Seahawks coming up here in a couple weeks on Sunday Night Football. Four game stretch in primetime is just insane, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So yeah, really important stuff coming up here. The Packers obviously have seen the Niners a ton. Really good success against them in the regular season. Not really any success against them in the postseason. But I guess that bodes well for Matt LaFleur because he's got a really good record against Kyle Shanahan in the regular season. So
yeah. I love that this game is at Lambeau for the Packers. I think that home field advantage, especially with this specific matchup, has been huge for these teams. Packers going on the road to San Francisco has not always boded well for them. Packers at home against San Francisco has historically been a much better success rate. So it is at home. It snowed in Wisconsin today as we are recording this on Thursday, November 21st. So we're getting that Lambeau vibe, which I also love for this rushing attack. If we want to dive into keys to this game, this is a team that I want to rush the ball on. I kind of want the Packers to rush the ball always because it's just been such a strength of this offense this whole season, but especially with Bosa potentially being out, and we'll get to injuries, I think, later in the show, but you're now missing like one of your keys on the defensive line. Like, run this ball down their throats. I know that they have the 49ers have a very strong defense. That's the core of their defense is Leonard Floyd, right? You have Devontae Campbell, who Packers fans are very well aware of, may not always take the best angles and tackles, but his tandem and co-partner in Fred Warner will. He's the best linebacker in football, in my opinion, maybe one of the best defensive players in football. But I think that the Packers and the creativity that they have in the run game, the versatility they have in the run game, Josh Jacobs being what he has been, they can run the ball against this team.
Yeah, so I think what's really interesting about these offenses is that they're both like top five teams in the league when it comes to offensive production. They're both putting up like over 385 yards per game. But how they're getting those yards is a little bit different. The 49ers are fourth in the league in passing yards, so they're kind of like an air attack team, which is weird because Jordan Mason has been so incredible, and now they have Christian McCaffrey coming back as well. But the Packers are doing it on the ground, and the Niners aren't far behind. The Packers aren't far behind in the passing category either, but two top five teams in their respective, you know, kind of preferred methods of attack. So you mentioned, of course, the run game. We'll see what this defensive front looks like for the 49ers. I think it's kind of been the area of weakness for them this season, which is weird. But if Nick Bosa can't go, that certainly is significant as well. And both of these offensive lines are good. Trent Williams has an ankle injury, but he remains one of the best left tackles in the league. Dominic Pooney, their right guard as a rookie, has just been incredible. So both pass rush is struggling, and both pass rush is probably going to have to wait another week to really see a ton of production because both lines have played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the key, right? Whoever can actually generate any kind of pressure or any kind of rush against the other might be the one who takes the win in this. I think without Nick Bosa, it's going to be a really tough sledding for the 49ers defense. Like you said, the Packers line has been playing very well as long as they keep up without the penalties and the self-inflicted wounds that they have. They've been protecting Jordan for sure. He's had some nice pockets to throw from. And again, I think as long as they can get this rushing attack going and open up the offense for Jordan, that also makes the day so much easier for the offensive line. It makes it even more difficult for the 49ers to rush on this offense. So everything stems from rushing the ball. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd be pounding the table for like a hardcore ground attack, but I think the Packers can get really creative against this front, and then be able to create explosives as well off of that. The 49ers secondary is probably, I'm sure you agree with this, their strength. But I trust in the weapons and Jordan Love to make some big throws in order to move the ball, you know, through the air and not just on the ground.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is such an interesting matchup because these teams are almost identical in some categories. They are tied for eighth in the league in points four. They're both averaging exactly 25 points a game. Both of the teams really struggle in the red zone, which is crazy. The 49ers are 26th in the league in red zone offense. They scored a touchdown 48.8% of the time. Packers are 27th in red zone offense, scoring a touchdown 48.7% of the time. So like they have a lot of the same struggles. They both are able to move the ball really well. They're averaging top five in like net yards per drive and time of possession and all of those good metrics. But then the wheels kind of fall off when they get to the red zone, and the Packers have struggled, you know, mightily on third downs as well this season. And that's kind of the one area the Niners have like taken over. The Niners are one of the best teams in the league at converting third downs, and the Packers are really struggling to convert those third downs. So I think that is another key for this Packers team on Sunday. And I think that's where running the ball is going to make a big difference, is just sustaining drives, burning clock, and keeping that momentum, because the quick three and outs against a team like the 49ers that can get hot from anywhere on the field, I think is just going to be a challenge for their defense.
It's really interesting how similar these teams are, yet their records are so different. And it just goes to show like one bounce here, one bounce there, one, you know, more formidable opponent, and things look very different. The Niners are also in what I think is probably the second most difficult division in football. And everyone in that division is like neck and neck. It's just a side. I think that this game is just, there's so much history and so much beef between these teams. You mentioned it at the top of the show, but they've seen each other so much. Our head coaches know each other so well. There's going to be a lot of, I think, 3D chess, if you will, in this game as well. And I don't want Matt LaFleur to get too cute. I think Kyle sometimes gets into his head. And I think if the Packers offensively like play their brand of football and don't think too much against, it's the 49ers defense, it's Kyle, it's whatever on the other side of the field, they will be able to move the ball. We're very far into the season now. So we shouldn't be saying this, but this is like when the red zone and the third down issues need to start clicking. I agree that running the ball is what they should be relying on. None of the end arounds, none of that tricky stuff. Like, these are linebackers that are going to sniff that out really quickly. It's keeping things downhill against this team that I think is going to be the most effective. And in the red zone too. They are allowing, especially rushing in the red zone, it's almost automatic against the 49ers at this point. So if you want to rush Josh Jacobs, if you want to QB sneak it, you know, have Jordan run it in, whatever kind of rush packages, pony in the end zone, I think running the ball down there is going to be effective, just not behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw it last week. The 49ers had the lead, and then Nick Bosa got injured and left the game. And then the Seahawks looked like a different offense. The 49ers, you know, couldn't keep up with them once Nick Bosa left, and the Seahawks marched down the field and scored the go-ahead touchdown and won that game. So I think, you know, that is a significant loss for the 49ers if he's unable to play. Maybe we can switch and talk about the 49ers offense, because yeah, they're getting George Kittle back. That is absolutely huge for that offense. But Brock Purdy has, you know, kind of popped up on the injury report as having right shoulder soreness. So it sounds like he'll play. I don't think it's anything that they expect to be too serious. But when it is your throwing shoulder and it's your, you know, franchise quarterback out there in the cold at Lambeau in the wind, not sure what that's going to do for a really heavy 49ers passing attack.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the injuries in this game are on both sides of the ball are also really key. You know, Brock's going to play. It's just how much that injury is going to impact him and what they can call and how he can push the ball down the field. George Kittle is back, but is George Kittle fully healthy? You mentioned Trent Williams already. We've mentioned Bosa. I mean, just losing Bosa, period, is huge. Again, your left tackle not being able to protect your current quarterback, who's maybe a little bit injured, not a recipe for success. But Kyle Shanahan being able to plan around that, I feel confident in. On the flip side, Jair isn't practicing. That's really the only key injury for the Packers, but protecting against what you just said is a top five air passing attack in the NFL. Not great to not have your star cornerback again another week with, you know, with Debo, with Christian McCaffrey, with George Kittle coming to town.
And I mean, I'm not saying that turnovers are, you know, needed. We saw the Packers win last week without forcing a turnover, but it is weird that now this defense is on a two-game stretch with no picks, no fumble recoveries, no turnovers after the stretch that they were on. I think it was like seven straight games where they had two plus turnovers. And obviously we know who Xavier McKinney is. We've seen a ton of great things out of him already in his first season with the Packers, six interceptions, but then Jair has two. Mm-hmm. Eric Wilson has one and Evan Williams has one, and that's it for this defense. And the flip side of that is that this 49ers defense has 11 interceptions and only two guys have more than one. It's Diamador Lenore and Fred Warner. They both have two, and then seven other guys have gotten a pick. So the way that they're able to kind of, you know, ball hawk from any area of the field, I think that's kind of what's missing from this Packers secondary when Jair is not there. You know, we know who Xavier McKinney is, but if they don't want to throw near him because he is second in the league in picks, then somebody else needs to make a play on the ball. And I think that's kind of what's been missing from the secondary through these last couple weeks.
Yeah, 100%. What do you think that this Packers defense like needs to do the most in order to have like maybe a bounce back game from last week? And I say bounce back tentatively, because it's not that they had necessarily a bad week. They won, but they did not look like the defense that we expect. They certainly let the Bears run more effectively than we would like. So in this game, when in a much more formidable opponent, like what does the defense need to do?
I think it's third down and red zone. And I think it's, you know, we said at the top of the show, the 49ers and the Packers are both putting up 25 points a game. So when you hold the team like the Packers did last week to 19, you expect to win those football games. And if you hold the team, especially with an offense that's the caliber of the 49ers, if they hold the 49ers to 19 or probably even 20 points, I would expect them to win that game. So I think what they can't afford to have happen is one, the turnovers on offense. You know, they're gonna have to clean those things up. Jordan, I thought, protected the ball a lot better, except for that one red zone pick. But otherwise, I thought that the offense played a really, really clean game. So I think the defense just needs to keep that momentum and get off the field on third downs, because those long sustained drives in the cold that are just going to gas these guys out and make them so tired. The hits hurt more when it's cold, right? Like, everything is harder. You're probably not trusting your kicking units as much when it's this cold out. So you don't want to have to settle for three knowing that it could be windy inside Lambeau Field. So I think, yeah, just making it a tough day for the 49ers to move the chains, because they have historically this season been really good at moving the ball on third down. And if they do get into the red zone, make sure they don't suddenly right their wrongs in the red zone and start scoring touchdowns. Like, you have to make them kick those tough kicks.
Yeah. To your point too about the kicker, I'm glad you brought that up. Moody has had a really tough season so far. So the 49ers, two thoughts on this one. One is, it might be effective, or at least a win on a drive, to stop them and make them kick, to your mm-hmm. point, in this tough weather, because they might not trust Moody. However, there might be a case where, after seeing what the Packers defense couldn't do on fourth down last week, that Kyle opts to go for it on fourth down. Yeah. And then you're in a situation where you're having to actually make more stops than you want to. And that's not a position I want this Packers defense to be in at all.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we were texting about it during the Bears game, and it was unfortunate to be like, well, it's third and long, they're going to pick up just about all of it and then be able to convert on fourth down. And Brock Purdy, it's, you know, it's not like he's like Kyler Murray out there or Lamar Jackson, but he's mobile. He's, you know, we've seen that if the Packers don't play to their gap integrity, then the pass rush is just not getting to the quarterbacks. And yes, we saw three sacks last week from this unit, but outside of Rashawn Gary, who I think it's really hard to evaluate him this season because the sacks don't show up on the stat sheet for him. He's only got 3.5 all season, but the pressure is there. He needs some help. And maybe that's like Brenton Cox Jr. He got his first sack of the season, obviously, last week. Aaron Mosby had the half sack a couple games ago. But you expect a lot more at this point from Lucas Van Ness and from JJ Enagbare. And we joked about it after the Bears game, but Mr. December, Kenny Clark, we're, you know, a couple games away from December football. So hopefully that D-line can generate some pressure, because I don't think that Purdy is going to be as inclined to be as mobile if he's got the shoulder injury to worry about.
Yeah. I mean, everyone needs to step up on that front. It's just not good enough. I mean, one of my thoughts during the Bears game was, I don't think that you can win a championship without a formidable pass rush in this league. Like, I just don't think that you can do it. There's a lot of weaknesses on a team that, you know, you can skate by or you can plan around, but lack of a significant pass rush, or at least a pass rush that shows up in the right moments. You know, first down sack, second down sack, fine. But if you're giving up third downs, those sacks don't matter, respectfully.
Right. If you get a sack on first down and then it's third and 16, who cares? Like,
exactly. And you're converting, mm-hmm. you're letting them convert. So it's pressure, but it's also like situational pressure that's important that the Packers haven't been doing either. And, you know, at this point in the season, I don't know, maybe it's just this team doesn't have a good pass rush, and that is just worrisome. And I don't know how far into the playoffs they can get unless they really turn it on. And you said it already. I mean, this is a offensive line that, like, I don't know if we're going to get any answers from them. However, if they do build off of a three sack day last weekend, this week, we could maybe start to feel a little bit better about them being able to attack a team that's an opponent they might see in the playoffs in the 49ers.
Yeah. And I mean, the offensive line certainly has areas that they're able to attack. I wouldn't go after Trent Williams. Right guard, like we talked about earlier, has been, you know, one of the shining spots on that line, but left guard and center, not great. The right tackle's not incredible. So there are certainly areas where they can bring pressure, and especially against the center and your left guard, that's where you would expect like Devontae Wyatt and Kenny Clark to get after it. If you're going mm-hmm. up against the right tackle, that's where Rashawn Gary needs to shine this week. So, I mean, they're certainly, for as good as a couple of their pieces are on the offensive line, there are some liabilities. And I think that's where you see guys like Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason coming in to try to mitigate some of that, because this is a pass heavy attack, but Christian McCaffrey's, you know, been back two games now, and I expect him to just keep stacking and getting better and better and getting more playing time. His stats look kind of modest in the first couple games, but especially at Lambeau in the cold, I think he's going to have a big day on the ground if the Packers don't plan for that.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know what else to say about this game. I mean, they're very evenly matched teams. They have, like I said before, a long history against one another. It's, I think there's a lot of ways for this Packers team to come out with a win. And I feel really confident that it's possible, especially with the way that they're able to run the ball. If Jordan doesn't have a turnover in this game, to me, Packers win. Especially with the injuries and it being at home at Lambeau, it's going to be close. It's going to be, I hope, high scoring, just for my sake as a spectator. But I don't know. Maybe I'm too confident in this team, even after watching this Bears game and having them struggle. But I still feel like there's a lot of really good football here that will show up on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Packers win this game. And if the Packers play their brand of football, I'm not sure that it should be particularly close, but it's the 49ers, and we, I think, have a hard time feeling confident in those matchups given the heartbreak that we've seen in so many postseason losses. But I don't know. When I think about this game, I think of like 28-20 or like 24-17. Like, I think the Packers should win this one comfortably if, again, they aren't, you know, making those self-inflicted mistakes. Because we said that last week, too. We expected the Packers to beat the Bears by, like, 10 points. And they could have. They left points on the board, obviously. They're, you know, the interception in the red zone certainly didn't help. The two-point conversion that they didn't convert. But, yeah, I mean, this is a good Packers team. And I think we've seen them get so close in big moments. You know, they almost came back from the Vikings game. Could have arguably beaten the Lions and kind of, you know, too little too late. So this is when they have to start stacking that. And I think Chicago was a good momentum opportunity for them if they allow it, instead of saying, oh boy, that was a close one. Like, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were, to be like, yeah, we stole this one. And now we ride that momentum, like you said, into the latter half of the season. So I think they should win this one by at least a touchdown.
Wow. Okay. I'm on the train. It's a field goal again. Mostly because
my heart can't take those.
I can't take it either, but I also have confidence in the 49ers. But the 49ers have had a really, really difficult season. They haven't looked like the 49ers of old. So I'd really love to see the Packers hit 30, like just start to get a little bit more automatic in the red zone. So I'm going to go 31-28.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. Well,
what's your final? You said a touchdown, but what's your final?
28-21.
Okay. Love it. I'll take that too.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can find us on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, on Blue Sky at Pax What She Said, on YouTube at Pax What She Said, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. We're trying to be where the people are. So if you, I don't think we're on Threads yet, but
should we make a TikTok?
I'm so old. Don't make me do all this extra, but maybe, sure.
Let us know. If you want us to make a TikTok, let us know.
Okay. Yeah, let us know. But thank you for listening to the show. You can find us everywhere, like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. Perry's going to be at Lambeau. If you see her, say hi, buy her a beer. That'd be cool, right?
Yes.
It should be a lot of fun. Enjoy the She Said TV meetup if you're going. Otherwise, I will be back Sunday night to talk about the game. Perry is going to be busy, so I will have a special guest. We'll see if you guys can figure this one out ahead of time this time, because it might be harder. It might be harder to guess. So we'll see who it is. And we'll be back early next week to preview the Thanksgiving game. So a lot of football talk coming up very shortly. But enjoy the game and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.